I am so excited that for 2024, Your Brand Amplified is proudly sponsored by one of my favorite platforms, Simplified. This AI-driven platform is a game changer for design and video content. With Simplified, I can effortlessly transform lengthy videos, such as my podcast, into engaging, shareable clips and streamline workflows with an intuitive subtitle generator. For designers out there, you can explore the AI-powered image generator, create compelling presentations, and design eye-catching YouTube thumbnails with ease. Revolutionize your creative process at simplify.com with a free trial. Now let's dive into today's guest.
Welcome to Your Brand Amplified, the podcast where we interview marketers, publicists, and brands to learn their stories, what makes them tick, and tips and tricks that make a difference.
This is Annika Jackson, and today I am here with somebody who is making a name for himself in visual arts and music, who also is a student at USC in the grad program that I teach in, which is not how we met. But Babs, I'm so happy to have you here on the show today.
Thank you very much for having me. Sure.
Absolutely. So please, I know that we have not the same experience, but my mother was an immigrant. She's Thai and Laotian and came here for college. I know that you started out, you know, in Nigeria, you lived in England, and now then you moved to the United States. So I'd love for you to talk about that journey and how it's helped create who you are today.
Yeah, being an immigrant is very much so something. So I moved from Nigeria to the UK when I was six. And I remember one of the first things that I found perplexing in the UK was there was always electricity 24/7. I was waiting for the lights to go off, and it never did. I realized it was light 24/7, I was like, this is an amazing country. So I moved to the UK when I was six. It took a while to adapt, but by the time I was 12, I got to the swimming of it. I moved to the US when I was 18, so that was definitely a huge culture shock. I didn't actually think it would be that big of a culture shock. That's the thing.
Oh, wow.
I don't know, because, you know, you think like the UK and the US are so similar, but it's very similar, but like little mannerisms are very different. How we talk, our humor is very different, very rude, very crass, very bold. So when it came to move to America, it was almost like a bit of an ego death. Like who I thought I was had to almost like die and be rebuilt, because I thought I was this person and the world around me saw me as that person in the UK. And when I moved to the US, it's like people don't know how to interact with you, and you have to learn how to be a new person. So that's how I got into creativity, because I didn't really know who I was as a person. So I got into things like photography. I picked up a camera, learned how to shoot, how to shoot video through that. And I also learned how to DJ just by experimenting, trying to be a different person. You know, I was trying to learn as much things as I can, because, you know, I felt like a new person.
Wow. I love that you give that nod to the culture shock between different countries, and even two countries that speak English speak slightly different English.
Yeah.
Slightly different mannerisms, as you said.
Yes.
But then even going into the United States, because you didn't start out in Los Angeles, correct? You went to university in, is it Michigan?
Yeah, I went to Michigan State. Yeah, so go green. Yeah, so I very much didn't do enough research on that. So I almost like picked out of a hat. So yeah, so Michigan is, it's almost southern in its outlook. What I thought Michigan was before I moved isn't, I had no idea what Michigan would be like. It's completely different to what I would even perceive. Yeah.
And I think that's probably what happens to a lot of people who come here for university, is they pick something because it looks good and you have a perception from TV or whatever. Yeah, but then it's a different reality, because I see that with a lot of students who first start with university in the South or the Midwest and then end up coming to LA to USC, for instance, for grad school, which is a completely different culture.
Exactly. But for some reason, Los Angeles was a smoother transition. Maybe it's because I've been in the US for that long. But for like the first 6 months, you know, I feel like my people are uncomfortable, you know. But after like a year, I was very much so like eased into it. I think it was finding the music community here that very much so helped me. When you're walking towards something, it makes the city a lot better. When I was like, oh, what do I want to do? What do I want to be? It's almost like you're not walking with purpose. So now I have like an idea, like where I'm going. It makes the city so much better.
Yeah. And was it a dream to come to the United States for university or just to be here? Is that what propagated the move here in the first place?
No, I wouldn't say it was a dream. It was more so I felt like I had a better life opportunity going, moving here. It was almost like it's now or never, you know. It wasn't that great in the UK, you know, just Northampton. And it was really smart because I made this decision at 18. In hindsight, it was a very smart decision. At 18, I made the decision for myself that, you know, there's nothing for me here. And that was before things like Brexit happened. That was before the UK economy tanked. You know, that's good hindsight for an 18-year-old. So well done to me.
Yes.
So just a better opportunity, better life.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about your family? Where are they located?
So my mom's still in the UK and my dad travels around. So he has a company. So that means he's just ring around. Ooh. So sometimes he's in Houston, sometimes he's in Nigeria.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes he's in Ghana. So we have no clue where he is. You know, he's all over the place. So,
yeah. You know. Fantastic. And I don't know if you know this about me, but I started out in marketing in music also, but I was not a DJ. I was promoting DJs and clubs. And
that's
events.
So cool. No, so, I didn't know that. That's amazing.
Yeah. So that's why one of the reasons I was really excited to have you on the show, because to your point, I feel it right now, like music is something that really brings people together. It doesn't matter what culture you come from or what you look like. If you can connect on music, then it's such a beautiful thing. And it creates that common experience where then you're open, right? To hearing from somebody else, to learning about them, to becoming friends, colleagues, etc.
Exactly. You don't really get that with, I feel like as a creative, music, it's almost like one of the highest levels of creativity. Mm. As you said, it unites people. And one thing I realized through my journey in America, I've always had a yearning to bring people together. I've always loved, you know, bringing a group of people together. And I'm finding that through bringing my event. Sometimes not everybody come with, you know, it's LA, it's hard to get people out, but ideally I'd want to have an event where I can bring 200, 300 people together and, you know, let them have a good time, forget their worries.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, before we get into your event, I'd love to hear more about what you're doing now. Have you finished your degree? Did you start all of these things while you were in your grad program? What does life look like for you?
Yeah, so in terms of DJing, I've been DJing for 7 years now, but certainly this year, I've really been trying to like build my brand. I think one thing I realized is it's not a matter of skill. I was always waiting to get better. I realized, especially in LA, it's branding.
Absolutely.
It's an image thing. No one cares if you're good, they care if you can bring people, they care if you can build a community. So yeah, that's where I'm at with DJing. I finished my degree in May. So I interned over the summer. I was working in the music industry. I was doing A&R. Yeah, so I was doing A&R work. And right now I'm doing like creative strategy work with artists, helping them with their brand and helping them with their image, helping them with photography, helping them with video. Right now it's like, I'm trying to figure out, do I want to go in the advertising route? Do I want to be in the music industry? Because, you know, with the music industry, you can be in it, but you don't have to make it your career. That's one thing I realized, you know. So.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you need duality, because when I was interning, it was like every second of the day is music, and there wasn't a balance, you know.
Yeah, well, and to that point, I think the creativity in music and visual arts, being a photographer, videographer, also helps you, like if you start there, because I've interviewed a lot of people on this show who started out as DJs and then moved into entrepreneurship and businesses that are completely unrelated, but you built up so many skills through everything that you're learning through your creativity.
Yeah, it's crazy how those skills almost intertwine. I know so many photographers that become DJs, so many DJs become photographers. I wonder what the common thread is, what makes them intertwine. Maybe it's that yearning to connect with others, but it's a very interesting parallel.
Yeah. So tell us about your music. Do you speak to a specific genre of music? Do you play world music? Like, what's your vibe?
Yeah, so I started off with house music. I was a massive house head in the UK. But when I started DJing, it was like co-ops and, you know, week live events. So I never really enjoyed DJing that much because I couldn't play what I loved. So it was just like, you know, this like a tool. I felt like a, you know, iPod. It's when I moved to LA, I went to my first like event and the music was Global Sound. It was called Pangea Sound and they were collaborating with another event called Nanuzza, which is a South Asian music event. Mm. And just, I've never heard like culture in the night out, you know what I mean? So it just, it, like a light bulb, like, you know, like lit up. It was the first time I heard Afrobeats because I'm from Nigeria. I've never heard Afrobeats at a night out.
Wow.
So yeah, never heard like my like music at a night out. And I heard it for the first time and I was like, wow, this is so amazing. And then recently I am obsessed with a genre called Amapiano. It's an offspin of Afrobeats. And it is taking the world by storm. It's Afrobeats with a lock drum. So the South Africans took elements of, you know, Afrobeats and they added their own spin to it. And they added this distinct lock drum. And when you hear it, you'll understand like, oh, this is why it's a thing. That lock drum adds so much difference. So right now I'm a massive Amapiano head and, you know, I'm pushing it to the world. It's a rapidly growing genre. But it's very funny when I talk to, like, all the DJs know about, you know, Amapiano, like most DJs do, but like when I talk to like my ordinary friends, like, Amapiano, what's that? I'm like, you don't know Amapiano? Like, where have you been? You know? Yeah.
Fantastic. So what are you doing on the flipping to the visual side really fast before we get into your events? Can you tell us about Visuals by Babs? What does that look like? And I know you said you're working with artists.
Yes.
Are you also doing showing in a gallery or are you, you know, what else are you doing?
So right now rebranding to focus, before it was more so fashion photography.
Oh.
But now because I'm in this music space, I want to work with artists, help them build their content, help them do their portraits, working with DJs. So it correlates. I feel like the fashion space, it was very, when I moved here, I was ideally focusing on fashion photography and I felt, you know, I wasn't moving in the right direction. Nothing was happening. And I think when it comes to like branding and when it comes to branding and image, do what works. If nothing is happening for you, it's okay to pivot when it comes to branding. And I think that's what I learned from the USC courses, the branding class. It's okay to pivot. Everybody who has a big brand has multiple layers to their brand. You don't have to be one dimensional. You can be this and that. So yeah, right now with my photography, I'm still shooting when I can. But right now, DJing is the focus and I'm trying to intertwine the photography and the video with the music element I'm in. Yeah.
So you're creating a whole immersive experience.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Making it correlate.
Yeah, I love that. So that leads us pretty nicely, I think, to your new music event that you started. So can you tell us a little bit about what that is and what people can expect?
Yeah, so I just started an event called Diaspora Dance. And after the pandemic happened, I feel like I've come to LA at the right time. There has been a new wave of music events. And before, when I first found out about them, they're really small, like a couple people. And they've all of them have boomed. There's Afrobeats of the World, Pangea Sound, Nanuzza, a link up, but all these small events are booming and building a community. So when I found out about them, I was so obsessed. I would go all the time. And I think one day I was like, I can do it myself because I was always waiting, like asking, like, please let me DJ, please. I'm like, you know what? Sometimes you've got to make initiative. So Diaspora Dance is an event. With all these events, it's more so in one lane. It's like, okay, it's Afrobeat, this is a South Asian event, this is Latin. And I'm trying to combine them. I'm trying to find a place that reminds people of home on the dance floor. So that's what it's about. It's about bringing people back to home because, you know, when you live in a different country, it's hard. It's hard to find community. It's hard to find people that's like you. So that's what I want to build with my event. A community where people feel like they're back at home, where people feel like they're safe and they can explore new music through the diaspora. So yeah, that's the point of the event.
Fantastic. Is it a weekly event, a monthly event? Is that still being...
Yes. So I've done 4 events so far. Mm-hmm. I started in around September. So It's going to be bi-weekly, so 2 weeks. Yeah, two events in a month. So I might do one event that's like fully global sounds and like another event that's more geared towards house music.
Fantastic. And I know that because I grew up in Kansas. Yes. And then I lived in Chicago. I've lived in Los Angeles three times now, San Francisco and Houston. And so I know that it can be really hard to break into a new community, right? And to figure out, as you've mentioned, like moving from like one country and continent to another country and continent to another country and continent.
Yes.
How difficult it can be to find yourself and find the right people. And I know particularly in LA, everybody's from somewhere else almost. It can be easy to meet people, but they might not be the people that you really connect with or that you feel are really your people. So I'd love to hear some of your advice for networking and making those connections for all the people who are starting out or have had to move to a new city for whether it's for university or for a new job or looking to figure out how to foster those relationships.
Just don't stay up. You really have to be outside and seek. As I said before, if it doesn't work for you, when I was trying to break in into the photography community, I realized I'm more extroverted. Like, I was trying to make these relations and it just wasn't working. But with the DJs, it was like a smooth fit, even though I wasn't performing at that time. So keep going out. When someone tells you, hey, do you want to do this? Just do it. Just try different things. Try different hobbies. I think once people like graduate and they start their careers, they're rescind to just playing it safe, not trying new things. You know, they're like, this is me, this is it, my career is everything. You know, not a lot of people have hobbies and something they're working on. It's only their career. And then it's like, you need multiple things. You know, it's okay to pivot. You need to have layers. You know, life is about exploring, you know, especially when you're young, you know. Yeah, I've seen a lot of my friends graduate and they don't explore new things. They don't try to find deeper layers of themselves. This is work. I'm going to bed. It's like I'm done trying. For me, I'm always constantly trying to evolve. I'm always constantly trying to seek new things and be a tad bit better every day. Whether I succeed, probably not, but it's at least I attempt, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, go outside.
Yeah. Well, so I'm hearing you say yes, right? Say yes to everything until you figure out if it's what fits you or what doesn't fit you, and just be open to the possibilities. But how did you, when you got into the photography community, for instance, did you go on meetups to find people? Did you go through organizations on campus? Did you, you know, Facebook, you're probably not on Facebook, but Facebook groups or LinkedIn groups, how did you find those networks in the first place?
Twitter, social media, just actually be a fan. So be a fan, ask to assist a photographer, be a value. Being a value is, you know, I've noticed something about Americans, they hate doing stuff for free, but you have to do free work in this world. You have to be a value. If there's someone you really like and you believe in what they're doing, it's okay to be a fan. It's okay to be like, let me help you. You know, sometimes you've got to bite the bullet in your ego and be like, I'm a really big fan of your work. How can I help you out? You know, be a value to someone you believe in. It's okay to do that. You know? So yeah, just use the internet, reach out to people and help them out.
That's really good advice. I think it's really hard for people though to sometimes let go of the thought, right? Of, well, what is that person going to think of me? What if they turn me down? Do you have any words of advice for somebody who's kind of stuck in their own?
I used to be so bad at rejection, so scared of rejection. But at this point, you just have to dissociate. It's like when you're scared of rejection, it's like that's your ego taking control. Sometimes you've just got to think of yourself as a sim. Like you're just a character in a video game going through the motion. Like, hey, I really want to work with you. I don't exist. When you attach it to your ego and you think that person's being malicious, he's being rude to me, he doesn't think I'm of value. No, that's not usually the case. Most people are usually busy. So this is a skill I've learned recently. Like if it was like 2 or 3 years ago, if I got rejected, I'd be down for like weeks on end. But I've just gotten better. Just ask. Empty mouths don't get fed.
Yeah. So just persevere.
Exactly. And be persistent.
Yeah. So you started Diaspora Dance. You're really leaning into DJing and creating an immersive experience with the visual aspect as well, videos, photography, music. What else is next for you? Do you see yourself staying in Los Angeles?
Yeah, hopefully. I'd love to stay in Los Angeles, but I think the goal is to be a global person, to do festivals, to produce my own music, to create my own music, and to create a community, to create an audience that is here for me. One thing I've realized is you can't grow an event just relying on your friends to come through. You've got to actually build a community, build fans that love your work. And the best way to do that is to make your own music. So I want to do festivals. I want to travel the world, make my own music. And right now it's emerging as an actual artist. Right now, what I'm doing in terms of branding is becoming an artist, not just a DJ, because anybody can DJ, but not many people are artists.
You,
so yeah, becoming an artist. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic. If there is one other piece of advice that you would give to anyone listening, what would that be?
One of the pieces of advice is just keep on exploring, be yourself at all times, and just keep trying new things. Don't be afraid to fail. There's always something, I think, and I'm not even following this advice, but I feel like everybody knows in the back of their head there's something that they're really good at, or they've always been yearning to do. That itch, you've got to really change that itch, you know. Even if the thing that scares you, go do that. The thing that you're embarrassed to do, just go do that, and, you know, give it your all at that.
Yeah. Fantastic. And Babs, what is the best and easiest way for people to follow you on your journey, learn about your events, work with you?
Yes. So pretty much Instagram at BabzAf, BABZAF. I also have a website, which is visualsbybabs.com. And yeah, all my ads are BabzAf. So yeah, I'm pretty easy to find. Give me a message. Yeah, I'm pretty friendly and I'm always like down to help out, you know, at all times. So yeah, nice. I'm a friendly person.
Fantastic. Well, this has been really fun, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about your events and everything else that you have going on and following your burgeoning career. So, Babs, thank you for being here today. And
thank you very much for having me.
Of course. And thank you to my audience for coming to another episode of Your Brand Amplified. I'll be back again in a few days with another amazing guest sharing their story and their journey. Until then.
Want more? Check out amplifywithannika.com or follow me on socials at amplifywithannika.
As we close out today's episode, I want to thank Simplified again for making it possible. For all marketers and creators out there, Simplified is your ally in effortlessly crafting on-brand content with a design and video AI. Discover how AI can enhance your creative process at simplify.com. Start for free and elevate your content game. Thanks for listening, and here's to your next creative breakthrough.